You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 202. Today's episode is all about my recommendations for things to do in the spring of 2024 here in New Orleans. The last show was your Mardi Gras survival guide. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Particularly if you're thinking about coming next year, it's never too early to start planning and kind of get things ready for your trip. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. Support comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum, located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. Check out their online publication called First Draft. It's a combination blog and online exhibition space at hnoc.org/firstdraft. Going on now through May 10th, 2024, check out their exhibit titled The Mystic Brotherhood, Fraternal Orders of New Orleans. For centuries, Freemasons, Odd Fellows, and other similar fraternal organizations have contributed to the network of benevolent and mutual aid societies that cradle New Orleans' social, cultural, and civic life. Through objects and images drawn from their collection, the new exhibition explores the sometimes hidden history of these organizations and illuminates how they help shape today's city. Additionally, the permanent exhibit on French Quarter life is an immersive experience worth a visit. As always, the Historic New Orleans collection is free and yet somehow continues to fly under the radar, but it really shouldn't be missed. Go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip. The most frequent questions I get are about moving to New Orleans. If you're ready to make the move, you need a good realtor, and that's where Liz Wood comes in. Let Liz and her team over at Liz Wood Realty help you find the right place. They can help whether you plan to rent or purchase. Liz makes the process fun and easy, so reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. Many members of our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street crew, have done exactly that. They've worked with Liz, and they're really pleased with the results. Another thing that Liz does after the sale is that she's really great at building community. So, particularly if you're moving from elsewhere, you come, maybe you don't know other people in the city, well, you'll have a friend in Liz once you go through the process. She tends to hold parties or organize events. She's just really good at pulling people together. In fact, she and I were both at a party for Christmas, and this wasn't by her planning, but everyone at that party was there because they had found the podcast and then became friends with each other, and many of them had worked with Liz as well. So it was really neat, and I think that's something that sets Liz apart. While you're looking for a home to purchase, you're probably going to need a secure financing. Reach out to Tommy Manzella at Gulf Coast Mortgage and let him help you get everything in place. We did that on our refi a couple years ago, and it was as smooth as could be. We went through the same process with Tommy when we were considering purchasing a new home, and it was just as easy. I'll put a link to Tommy's information in the show notes, but reach out to Tommy Manzella at Gulf Coast Mortgage. Long-term listeners are familiar with Two Chicks Walking Tours and their small group approach to public walks through the Garden District and the French Quarter. For those new to the topic, they limit group size to half the number of guests of other companies. Frequent tour takers know that size matters. You get in a small group and it's more personalized, you can have more interaction. It's just a more inclusive experience. Two Chicks Walking Tours are also experts at curating private tours, including a variety of themes such as literature tours to the French Quarter and a Marigny Highlights tour option. The team has also traversed the CBD and warehouse with groups in tow discussing the city's unique development and characteristics. They've organized private tours for as little as a single guest to over 200, so please check them out. Find out more at twochickswalkingtours.com and use code BEYOND to save 15%. We'll also put a link in the show notes. Today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. We have perks at all levels, and if you join at the $10 level or higher, I'll mention you on an episode, like Doug Hawkins, Timbo Kite, Jeffrey Hubbard, and Ray Lamb. Thanks to all of you for supporting me at the $10 level. And now let's jump into today's topic. We've just come off Mardi Gras as I'm recording this, but there's plenty to do in the city. Today I'll give you my recommendations for things I would do in the next couple of months. Some I've probably mentioned before, but if I was tailoring a trip for you, these would be on my list for most people. They're in no particular order, and they span a range of prices from free to, gosh, one of them going out to a fancy dinner could cost you, cost you a couple hundred dollars. But with that being said, let's start. Number one on my list is ride the streetcar, and I do mention this frequently. I think it's such a great way to experience New Orleans, and it's such a New Orleans thing. It's about it's $1.25 each way, or you can pay a couple dollars for a day pass and hop on and off. You can find out all the information at NORTA, N-O-R-T-A. But one of my favorite things to recommend is to pay for a day pass and hop on and off along St. Charles Avenue. I'm partial. There's the green streetcar, which goes along St. Charles Avenue, and there's the red streetcar, which goes down Canal Street, and one of the extensions off of that one will take you to City Park. So for purposes of this, I'm partial to the green one because it's the original one. The windows slide up and down. There's no air conditioning, but the benefit is the windows slide up and down. On the red streetcars, the windows don't slide up and down, but there's air conditioning, so it's a trade-off. But I love taking or suggesting to people that they take a ride along the green St. Charles Avenue streetcar, particularly if you buy the day pass and you can hop on and off. So it's a great thing to do. You could stop for a drink at a place like the Columns Hotel or Della Chase, which is a really cool small bar. Lots of wines by the glass there. Or there's a small hotel that also has, that serves drinks, that has a bar called the Chloe, C-H-L-O-E. Those are just three of many places that you could stop. But you could ride down the streetcar, see the Garden District, come up through Uptown, stop at one of those couple places. You could go to Audubon Park. It's fun if you want to just do it. There's about a 1.8 mile loop, walking loop around the golf course there. It's shaded, so even as the weather starts to warm up, it's always nice there. If you have little ones, there's a really great play spot right out front. In the front part of Audubon Park, as you're looking at it, it's to the left. There's a lot to do. There's also the zoo in the back of the park. You could continue in the streetcar and go up to Riverbend. You could wander down Oak Street, where there's coffee shops, restaurants. There's a brewery. There's a micro, a craft beer and a wine bar. There's a lot to do right there. You could have lunch at the Milk Bar on Carrollton, which is a place Marie and I go sometimes. You could have dinner at Giacomo's, followed by live music at Maple Leaf next door. And usually by March, Plum Street Snowballs is open, which is just a short walk. You take the streetcar on St. Charles Avenue. It bends at River Bend onto Carrollton Avenue. And you go down a couple stops and you hop off, and it's just a couple block walk. You could pull it up on your phone, your smartphone. But Plum Street Snowballs is a really great snowball stand that's been around for decades. And again, I'm recording this in mid-February. They're usually opened in March, so you'd want to check that. But the streetcar is just a great way to see the city. And while I'm primarily focused here on the green streetcar line, if you wanted to go to City Park, which I don't have on my list, but which is typically on my list of recommendations, you could take the other streetcar, the red one. Make sure you follow ask for directions or ask the conductor. But you take the extension that goes to City Park, and it takes you right to the front of City Park. So you're right in front of the Museum of Art. There's a sculpture garden right there. There's Café du Monde in the park, great place to get beignets, usually without the crowd that you would face downtown. There's 800 to 900 year old oak trees in the Old Grove, which is right behind the it's called the Old Casino, but the building where Café du Monde is. There's also a mini golf. There's two courses there. And what makes them unique is one of them, each one is named after something that's native or indicative of New Orleans. And the other course there is things that are native or indicative of Louisiana more largely. There's many things to do in the park, and we've done an episode, actually two episodes, about City Park. But riding the streetcar, whether you chose the green or the red, really fun thing to do, really inexpensive, a great way to see parts of the city, and it's easy and fun. And you can take them both from downtown. If you're staying in the French Quarter or the Central Business District, the Warehouse District, you're really close. So that's always high on my list. We just had some visitors in town. My brother-in-law and his girlfriend came in for Mardi Gras, and they were here for a week. So they needed things to do in between parades. And many of the things on this list were things that we suggested to them. But I know they had a fun afternoon on the streetcar, and they actually took it a couple of times to go back downtown. So that's first on my list. The next thing on my list, number two, is View Orleans. We did an episode about this not too long ago. View Orleans is this, it's not really a museum. It's an immersive experience, for lack of a better phrase. They have several things there. One, there's a fabulous 360-degree view of New Orleans from both indoors and outdoors. They have fun interactive installations. So when you walk in, there's these historical characters that you pull up on these screens that are really larger than life. The characters that appear are probably 6 feet tall, and it really feels like you're engaging with them. And you can kind of, you use your hand in a weird sort of way to control it. You use your hand almost like your hand is a mouse pointer. And you can interact with 8 or 9 different historical characters where they'll tell you who they were and what they did in New Orleans and the significance. One of the really fun things there's a cafe where you can quote unquote order off the menu. It's a virtual cafe, so you're not actually getting food, but you could click on, let's say, Bananas Foster on the menu, and up pops Kevin Belton and Poppy Tooker. Kevin's a local chef, and Poppy Tooker hosts a podcast all about food in New Orleans. And they kind of walk you through making the dish, and then they show you virtually the finished product. It's really a lot of fun, and it's a pretty neat thing. You can click on all different, they do some drinks, they do some food. It's really well done. There's a music section, so you're under kind of like a gramophone, and it's all digital, and you push buttons, and you can hear music and samples and interviews from people about the different types of music that are present in New Orleans. And I've never seen it quite presented that way. You can spend a lot of time there just playing with the different musical styles. And again, I love that they have both musical clips as well as interviews with it. It's just, the whole thing is so well done. Even the elevators are an attraction, but you'll have to see what I mean for yourself. Tickets are about $30 a person. There are some discounts available. Well worth it, in my opinion. A thing I'd like to do is combine View Orleans with a visit to Sazerac House, which is about 3 blocks away. Sazerac House is free. Sazerac, the company, you might also know of Buffalo Trace Bourbon. So that's all the same company, and that's owned by a guy that's New Orleanian. And I think that's why Sazerac House, this museum, was put in place. And it is a museum dedicated to distilled spirits. So they walk you through the process of how they create the bourbons and ryes. And you get some very small samples. So you get 3 or 4 sample cocktails along the way. There's a nice gift shop, but it's a pretty neat interactive experience. The guides there are really great, and it's totally free. So you could combine that with going, you could go to Sazerac House. Right around the corner from there, you could eat breakfast at the Ruby Slipper or at Mother's. I really like Mother's for breakfast. Mother's is well known as a po' boy place, and the lines are often out the door. I typically don't recommend that people wait in those long lines, but going for breakfast is kind of an insider tip. Or the Ruby Slipper right around the corner from Sazerac House is great as well. But you could combine those two things. You could go to the Sazerac House for free and then go down to the foot of Canal Street and check out View Orleans. Another thing on my list, number 4, is a nice dinner. So, you know, we have in the neighborhood of 1,600 restaurants in the city. Probably our favorite for going for a nice meal is either Brightson's in Riverbend or Clancy's, which longtime listeners know is my wife's favorite neighborhood restaurant. But others that come to mind include Commander's Palace, which still offers 25-cent martinis at lunch, but a good place for a celebration or a nice dinner or a lunch. Gabrielle over on Orleans Avenue, they do fabulous food. It's just slightly off the beaten path. It's not far from Dookie Chase if you've been there. But a really nice upscale place, really, really good gumbo. They have duck on the menu if you like duck, lots of local New Orleans dishes, but all well executed. There's a restaurant here that I'm going to mention later on again, but N7 in the St. Claude neighborhood. If you like French food, it's a very upscale, very small French restaurant. I mentioned Clancy's. I also like Lillette on Magazine. So there are plenty of choices at kind of all different price levels, and there are plenty more than the ones I've mentioned, but a nice dinner in the city is fun. You could combine that with a streetcar ride if you wanted to go up to Brightson's for dinner or Commander's Palace for dinner or lunch, Both are easily accessible by streetcar. Even Lillette, not far, probably 6-block walk from the streetcar over to Magazine Street. But a nice dinner is something that I think is well worth doing. I would recommend reservations at any of the places that I mentioned, and most nice places in the city are going to require reservations, or at least reservations are going to be recommended. So if you're going to make that part of your plan, I would definitely take the time to make a reservation. Number 5 on my list is beignets. You know, we're known for beignets. They're so good. There's so many good places. Café du Monde is the most famous, and the French Quarter is sort of the iconic place to get beignets at Café du Monde. The one knock on that, in my opinion, is sometimes it gets very crowded. So another way to do that is to go to City Park. Again, you could combine that with a streetcar ride. There's an outdoor pavilion there. So Café du Monde in City Park has both an indoor seating area and a large outdoor seating area. And again, if you have kids with you, there's a big play spot right outside of Café du Monde. So you could play, the kids could eat beignets as well as you, and then they could burn off some of that sugar running around the playground. If you don't have kids, you could burn off some of that sugar by walking through the old grove of oak trees right behind it and just kind of wandering through City Park. But Café du Monde is one choice. The next up is Café Beignet. There are several locations in the French Quarter. I think they're up to maybe 4 locations. I like the one on Royal Street, but they're all very good. They're consistent. They make a really good beignet, and again, not as well known as Café du Monde, but excellent. If you want to combine an adult beverage with your beignets, head on over to Vintage on Magazine Street. They have regular beignets, stuffed beignets. They have something called beignet bites. So kind of think of like Dunkin' Donuts munchkin holes or donut holes. These are just bite-sized beignets. They come, I think, in like a little cone, if I remember correctly. But you can get a glass of champagne, and they have a full bar as well. So you could have drinks there. That always struck me as a good kind of end-of-the-night date place. But we've been there at lunchtime, and again, good whether you have kiddos or it's just adults. Another place that I really like is Loretta's. And if you go to Loretta's, try the praline stuffed beignet. You only get one, and one is enough because it's very rich. But basically, they make a praline filling, and that's what they stuff the beignet with. My wife, who is not necessarily a fan of stuffed beignets, goes crazy over these. And again, she would agree with me if she were on that one is enough, but really good. You can also get breakfast at Loretta's, and I think lunch. In fact, we're going to have the owner on in a couple of episodes, but those are just 4 examples of beignets. There are other places, but I think beignets, and again, that's a really cheap thing. This wasn't meant to be sort of a cheap way to see New Orleans, but as I'm looking at the list, several of the things here are inexpensive, and beignets certainly fit that bill. Number 6 on my list is the French Quarter Festival. So we've done a whole episode on French Quarter Fest, and I think we did an episode where we compared French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest, and I won't go into all of those comparisons here, but I will touch on some of them. For one, the French Quarter Fest is free. So unlike Jazz Fest, which is now up to about $80 or $85 a day, French Quarter Fest is completely free. And there's a lot of overlap in the musical performers that perform at both French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. The biggest difference between the two, in my opinion, is that French Quarter Fest is very focused on local artists. They sometimes expand the definition of local to include other parts of Louisiana, but that's about as far as it goes. Whereas Jazz Fest has all of those kind of local acts, but then they also supplement it with the big, big acts. This year, for instance, the Rolling Stones are playing. And so there's always the Foo Fighters as well. So there's always big name acts that are not necessarily or not even typically jazz acts, but those help bring in the money and bring in the people that then help Jazz Fest pay for the other artists. But French Quarter Fest is solely focused on the local artists. And again, if you did a Venn diagram, there's quite a bit of overlap, people performing at both of them. So the music is outstanding. They are up to, I think, 9, 10, 11 stages or venues. One or two of them are indoors, but they're spread all throughout the French Quarter. So that's kind of a neat thing, too. You can see the French Quarter while you hop in and out of different musical venues. They have food booths that you pay as you go, of course, and drink booths. But you can spend as little as nothing. You can go for free. All the music venues are free. Or you can combine it, of course, and you could go to lunch or dinner in the French Quarter. You could buy from the food vendors throughout the festival. But the music is great. And I think the selection and the variety is there. The temperatures tend to be a little bit more moderate than Jazz Fest, which tends to be hot. You also have the added benefit of you're not confined to a space. So at Jazz Fest, it's at the New Orleans Fairgrounds, a horse racing track, and so you're limited there, with the exception of the what's called the Brass Pass from WWOZ, a local music station. You can't come and go as you please, and even if you did, there's not a whole lot around there, so there wouldn't be a lot of reason to wander in and out. But if you go to the French Quarter Festival, you can catch some music, then you could go, for instance, to the Historic New Orleans Collection, you could go to the Presbyterian or the Cabildo, you could go to the Old U.S. Mint, which doubles as a museum. You could go to the Pharmacy Museum. You could go to Aaron Rose, which is a great local dive bar in the French Quarter. You could go anywhere you want. So you can catch a little bit of music, go do something different, particularly if it's hot or if it's rainy, you can kind of get in and out of the weather. And there's great food. So beyond all of the things that are available to you in terms of restaurants in the French Quarter, the vendors at French Quarter Fest are very good. Some of them are the same or have similar offerings to what's at Jazz Fest, and the food is every bit as good. So it's a really great time. Again, that's one that's fun with family or just adults. We've gone, we bring bag chairs and or a blanket, you know, or a beach towel, can kind of spread out a little bit and relax. It gets crowded, but it doesn't get as crowded to me as the main stage for the biggest acts at Jazz Fest. And for those, you tend to have to sort of camp out for the day. And although it does get crowded at French Quarter Fest, I feel like it's a little bit easier to move in and out because you kind of do have this flow of people that are going to other stages or maybe just going for a couple hours or whatever it might be. And maybe that's tied to the fact that you're not paying a fee. So, you know, if you go to Jazz Fest and you spend $85 a ticket, you're probably going to be there most of the day, whereas, you know, the cost of entry at the French Quarter Fest is nothing, so it's easy to come and go. But that's a really fun thing to do. I think if you love New Orleans music and you want to kind of immerse yourself and also have the flexibility of being able to wander in and out, then it's a really great event for you. Number 7 on my list is Mardi Gras World. So if you missed Mardi Gras or if you've never been, you want to learn a little bit more, Mardi Gras World over on the riverfront is a great thing to go to. You pay a few dollars for a ticket. You get to see the float building. They house a lot of the Mardi Gras floats. It's also one of the few places that you can get king cake out of season. So king cake is traditionally offered from Twelfth Night, January 6th, through Carnival, through the end of Mardi Gras. There are a few bakeries that sell king cakes all year round, but that is sort of sacrilege in New Orleans. King cake has a season. Again, the one exception I guess I would make is that Mardi Gras World offers a slice of king cake at the end of the tour. So that's a way for you to try king cake, but also to get a good kind of understanding of Mardi Gras. The people that own that Kern are one of the largest and oldest float building companies in New Orleans, and they design floats for parades all over the world. So that's a pretty fun thing to do and something to check out if you haven't been to Mardi Gras and you are interested in that. Number 8 on my list is the World War II Museum. Again, another topic that we've done a whole episode on. It continues to grow. It's gotten much larger. Gosh, since we did that episode a few years ago, I don't know if it's quite doubled, but it's close. It can easily fill a day or maybe even a day and a half, depending on your level of interest. The World War II Museum is here largely because of Andrew Higgins, who created the landing craft for D-Day. He was a New Orleanian, and those landing craft were built here in New Orleans. And so I think that was the foundation for the reason why they put the World War II Museum here. But it is very much on the level of a Smithsonian Museum, if you've been to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. There's a lot to do there, a lot of exhibits. There are movies. There's something they call a 4D movie, where you actually can kind of feel some things while you're in the theater. At a minimum, a half a day, easily a day and a half, if you're really into it. Consistently rated the number one attraction in the city with good reason. And again, easy to get to if you're staying downtown, anywhere downtown, whether it's the French Quarter, the Warehouse District, or the CBD. It's located in the Central Business District. Really a moving experience and well worth doing. Number 9 on my list is take the ferry to Algiers Point. And I know that I've mentioned this one before, but you can hop on the passenger ferry. It's a couple dollars a ticket one way, So you go right down by View Orleans, actually, at the foot of Canal Street. You take this ferry over to Algiers Point. You could have lunch over there. There's several good places. There's a Barracuda, which is a taco place that's really good. There's a pizza place, Tavolino's. There's a couple of bars over there. Five or six, maybe seven or eight choices. You can shop a little bit. Many, many years ago, we did an episode on Algiers Point, and we talked to Mark at Rose Tree Blown Glass Studio. Still over there, you can go. Sometimes you can take a glass blowing class, but you can go see them making their glass creations, and you can also obviously shop there. It's nice even just to walk along the levee in Algiers. You get nice breezes. You're right, it's called Algiers Point for a reason. It's a point that sticks out into the river, so it's a really sharp turn that the ocean liners have to make there, so you can see the river traffic. It's also a great view looking back at the French Quarter from Algiers Point. So if you're a photographer, that's a really great view, a good shot of the French Quarter for you to take pictures from there. And it's easy and fun. It's a neat way to see the river, or to be on the river and kind of experience the traffic, particularly if you've gone up to View Orleans or you've walked through the French Quarter, maybe wandered out to the Moonwalk and looked out over the river. To get on the river for a couple dollars, and you could take it across and come right back if you wanted to do that. But you could easily spend a couple hours experiencing Algiers Point and the ferry. And I think that's a fun, unique thing to do. And again, something I recommend all the time. Number 10, shop on Magazine Street for a little bit of everything. Plenty of places to eat on Magazine Street. I often recommend Joey K's. Happens to be right next to one of our sponsors, the NOLA T-Shirt Club. But there are plenty of boutiques. There's the NOLA T-Shirt Club, as I mentioned. There's Flirty Girl. There are furniture stores, antique stores. Again, another one of our partners, The Occasional Wife, is one of many antique stores. Plenty of things to window shop or actual shop if you want. Again, plenty of food choices. I mentioned Lillette earlier. There's Coquette, which is another place that's really nice for evening drinks, afternoon drinks. Again, Joey K's is real casual and a great place with big portions and kind of just a mom and pop, almost like a diner, although it looks nothing like a diner. They have New Orleans dishes, they have po' boys, they have seafood, they have plate lunches. You could spend a long time on Magazine Street shopping for art, just wandering around. I like a cigar place on Magazine Street, again, across the street from Joey K's, called Mayan Cigar Import Company. But a little bit of everything on Magazine Street. Fun place to wander. I mentioned vintage earlier for beignets and drinks. So a lot to do there on Magazine Street, again, whether you just want to window shop or whether you want to do some actual shopping. And you could get there taking the streetcar. So you're about, if you took the St. Charles streetcar and hopped off and walked towards the river, you're about, depending on where you hop off, you're about 4 or 5 blocks from Magazine Street. So it's not far to get to, not hard to get to. And Magazine Street goes on for, I think, about 7 miles. So most of it has shopping and food places never more than a couple blocks away. There's also, again, I'm thinking about Snowballs, even though it's a little bit early as I record this for Snowballs. There's Imperial Woodpecker Snowballs on Magazine Street that's really good. Certainly in my top 3 of Snowball places. Number 11 on my list is Super Sunday. So one of the things that people think about when they think of Mardi Gras, they think of Mardi Gras Indians, the black-masked Indian gangs or tribes that wander the streets of New Orleans on Mardi Gras morning. They're hard to find unless you know specifically about a Mardi Gras Indian group and where they're going to leave from, and they don't typically have prescribed routes. So you can, if you're interested in it and you're here on Mardi Gras, you can look around a little bit and get some good idea of where to go to see them. But it's hit or miss, frankly. Well, on what they call Super Sunday is a day when many of the Indian gangs get together and parade down a fixed path, and you have a fixed route, and you have multiple organizations parading. So it's a wonderful way to see it. This year, in 2024, it's on Sunday, March 20th. It's always very close to that date. It's in a neighborhood that people often question, is it a safe neighborhood? And I would tell you, it's not a neighborhood I would typically tell you to wander through, or certainly not at night. But for Super Sunday, I feel perfectly comfortable going. I would have no concerns about taking my kids. Again, if you're into photography, absolutely stunning the suits that they hand sew with the beading and the feathers and sometimes sequins. Just true works of art. A lot of fun. Free, again. Again, I didn't mean to do that, but many of these things are free. So much of in New Orleans is free to wander around and see the architecture and things like that. But Super Sunday is something that's a lot of fun. Again, it would be fun for adults. It would be fun for kids. There are usually in the Indian organizations, there are some small kids. So you'll see, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids in these elaborate headdresses and suits. Really a fun day. Fun to see lots of music. Just a good party atmosphere and a chance to see Mardi Gras Indians and see more of them than you would see even if you were lucky enough to find Mardi Gras Indians on Mardi Gras morning. So if you've never seen that, that's something really interesting to see again this year on Sunday, March 20th. Number 12 on my list is the St. Patrick's Day Parade in the Irish Channel. Mardi Gras style parade, Mardi Gras floats are used. You know, they pick out ones that have a St. Patrick's theme, of course, so lots of green, but they throw Mardi Gras type throws, so you can catch beads and cups and trinkets and those sorts of things. Lots of fun. If you are into alcoholic beverages, there's always right around the St. Patrick's Day parade, well, on St. Patrick's Day, there's two bars in particular, Parasols and Tracy's. They used to be a block apart, and now Tracy's has moved further down Magazine Street, so this will be their first year in a new location, but they have traditionally hosted essentially a block party. So it'll be interesting this year to see if there's two. So those are not the day of the parade, but those are very busy during the parade because the parade goes right near them. But the St. Patrick's Day parade's a lot of fun. We took the kids last year. We generally don't go because it tends to be close to Mardi Gras and we're in recovery mode by then. But last year we did, and the kids had a great time, and it had all the benefits of a Mardi Gras parade, but maybe slightly less crowded, so we felt a little more comfortable letting the kids kind of run off with their friends a little bit, so that was good for them, and it was just a fun time. Number 13 on my list is one that I don't think I have highlighted before, and that's try some different ethnic foods. So of course, people come here for the Creole food, or maybe Cajun food, but New Orleans has really, I think, the diversity of ethnic choices has really grown in recent years. Here's just a couple that I put together for you. You could go to the Alma Cafe in the Marini Bywater area for Honduran food. I really like Alma for breakfast and lunch. So that's one. I like Budzi's Thai in the Marini. They have a slight influence of a certain part of Thailand, and I don't remember what that is at the moment. But I like Thai food, and I'm very picky about Thai food. And until Budzi's came along, there really wasn't a Thai place that I would recommend in the city. But I'm a big fan of it. I mentioned N7 earlier. This would be for an upscale dinner. It's French, very small, hard to find. I think there's just a tiny sign. But you could check out N7 for French food. In mid-city is MoFo, which is Vietnamese sort of fused with the flavors of Louisiana, which is not such a reach at all. We have a large Vietnamese population here, very involved in the seafood industry. So at MoFo, you get the kind of combination of the two cuisines, really interesting flavors. Michael Gelada is the chef there, also owns a place called Maypop, and just opened a third place in Metairie that's an Italian eatery. I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but MoFo for Vietnamese. Miss Shirley's Chinese on Magazine, so she's been in that location probably less than a year. For many, many decades, she and her husband ran a place called the Golden China Inn, I think, in Metairie. I remember going there as a kid with my parents. Mom, I know you're smiling as you hear this, but Miss Shirley's Chinese on Magazine, big menu, good stop for Chinese food. And another maybe surprising option for Ethiopian food is Addis Nola. They just recently moved into a different location, kind of in the mid-city neighborhood. So you got, what did I name there? Honduran, Thai, French, Vietnamese, Chinese, and Ethiopian. So quite a range there. So if you're looking to explore some different foods, maybe you come here for the food and you want just something different after several days of Cajun and Creole food, check out any of those places. And that's a thing that I think really has developed in recent years, that there's more and more of a variety of ethnic foods available in the city. And number 14, last but not least, would be take a walking tour. So obviously we have our sponsors, Two Chicks Walking Tours. They do a great job, tours of the Garden District, tours of the French Quarter. They can specialize a tour. If you're interested in sort of a haunted history type tour, I would recommend one of our community members, Orion Koulig, C-O-U-L-I-G. You can find him easily on Facebook or, again, in our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew. He does a really nice job there. But I think taking a walking tour is a great way to see the city, whatever part of the city you want to see and explore. You get some history, you get some feedback, you have some fun. Typical tour is 60 to 90 minutes. Again, this time of year, it's a little bit unseasonably cool here today, but you get into to late February, March, early April, temperature's starting to warm up, but it's not overbearingly hot typically. So a good time to get out and take a walking tour. So there you have it. If you have more to add or questions to ask, join our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, K-R-E-W-E, and let me know what you think. But these are items, these 14 things are things that I find myself recommending again and again for people coming this time of year. And I thought it would be fun to share that with you. So I hope you've gotten something out of it. Hope maybe it's made you come up with an idea or two that you hadn't thought of. I always try to come up with something for my mom. She's a, multi-generational New Orleanian. So in addition to all of you that are listening from afar, I always try to come up with at least one or two things that maybe mom hasn't done. So mom, you'll have to let me know how I did on that count. I want to thank our sponsors again, our patrons, and you, our listeners. With that, I'm going to turn it over to my daughters to close us out. Thanks, y'all.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.